You may take a seat. And I love being here with you. If you're uncomfortable, I've got good news. He sent us a comforter. So this is uncomfortable for some of us. It's a little different, and you know, sometimes we are so set in our ways, and then the Lord will come from a different direction because we need the comforter. Right? He's not content to leave us in our discomfort. So we thank you that we have the privilege this morning of just once again encountering his heart for us. So let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that we can come and ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and comfort us where we may need comforting this morning, where we are vulnerable before you, where we may have taken that step of faith and to just speak to you and to say, here's a room where I'm on life support and I'm uncomfortable, but I'm going by faith and I'm switching it off. Holy Spirit, you are the one who brings life. You are the breath. And we are not content to see dry bones with flesh on, but still dead. Holy Spirit, would you come and breathe life into these bones, into these bodies, that we can rise, glorify the Son. And Father, I pray for this word, that it would be your word. Let my words be few. That your word go out into our lives. That it would come into our hearts, into our minds. Your word doesn't return void. It will accomplish that which you set it forth. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to confess, I think I have a short word. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, someone's like, I received that word. This sermon could have been the ministry of the Spirit, but it's ministry of reconciliation, because we sometimes ask this question, why am I here? What is our ministry? What is our ministry? And together with the children's church this morning, we are in 2 Corinthians. So I want to just make the invitation. You have an option now to go either to children's church or stay here, but we're in 2 Corinthians, so you can make your choice. Right? It's God's word. It brings change. So we're in 2 Corinthians, and I'm looking at just a few verses in 2 Corinthians that really... And I don't know what the shape of the sermon really is. I've really been talking to the Lord about it, but essentially what I want us to take out here is what is the ministry of reconciliation that you are supposed to be busy with? That is what we are called to. The ministry of the Spirit is the ministry of reconciliation. Because Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says the ministry of the letter brings death, but the ministry of the Spirit brings life. Right? So we need to understand what is our responsibility. And so this morning, I'm trusting that maybe there will be something for you that goes on, that changes, or that just gives you a new insight. Like I say, I'm not a teacher, I'm a reminder. I like to remind us just what the word says. So the ministry of reconciliation is what I'm reminding us about this morning, because I feel that's what the Father wants to remind us about. So let me get into it. I'm in chapter 5, so we can put up the first slide. And let's just read this together. This is Paul. This is what I would call the introduction to the place from which we should be doing ministry. All of us. He says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. Now that phrase, the love of Christ, you know, we sometimes say, Lord, I love you. But what we actually need to be reminded of is he loved us first. Right? We love him because he loved us first. That's what John writes in 1 John. So we need to be reminded, Paul, he says, for the love of Christ controls us. You can be translated, compels us. If what you are ministering is not from a place of his love for you, you are not ministering at all. because what should drive us, what should compel us, what should control us is the love of Christ for us. And the love of Christ was not some theoretical, he didn't write us a love letter. He didn't send us a TikTok video. It was love displayed. So Paul makes this very personal in Galatians. He talks about, so he says here, the love of Christ compels us, controls us. And we'll see, it's because he's not writing this letter alone, it's him and Timothy. But in Galatians he says, he talks about in Galatians 2 verse 20, Christ loved me. Right? Christ loved me. Is what he says. It's not up there. I don't want to remind us of it. He says, at the end of verse 20, he says, of Galatians 2, verse 20, he says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I know we think corporately, and we should, because we are the body, different members making up the body. But you need to start in that place. We understand Christ loved me, gave himself for me. It's not because you were special. It's because his love's that great. While we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till you were oulik genoeg. Right? But make it personal. This is where ministry starts. The ministry of the Spirit is Christ loved me. His love for us. We can put that up again. That verse 14. And from that, he says, we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Let's pause there for a moment. No, let's pause there. Paul makes it clear, Christ died for all. Right, so that gives me confidence. We can, if we understand his love for us, we understand his love for all. And he died for all, that those who live, and he's not saying live like we are breathing, because until you were born again, you were dead. Right? Until you were born again, you were dead. Dead in your sin. So he's saying those who live, those who have been born again is what he's referring to. And this is a straight out answer. Why are we still here? What is our purpose? It is so that we can live for him. If we can put that verse up, we just keep it up there, if you don't mind. So we will live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This is what they have concluded. If you read the previous chapters, and he's talking about the gospel, he comes to this point, he says, we have concluded this. Because one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And we live in a sad state when we are living for ourselves. When we have experienced what he means by saying, I love you. And then we continue to live for ourselves. If you want to know what your purpose in life is, what is God's will for my life, this is God's will for your life. Is that you would live for him. And what that looks like in each area of your life? Heck, I don't know. But here's the thing. Sometimes we have this fear that God will send us to China. Hey, who's had that fear? Okay, I see a raise by hands. There we got some, two hands in the back. Okay, the fear that God will send you to China. What if he sends you to the people you work with? What if he sends you to your family? What if he sends you to your clients? What if that is where you are supposed to live for him who for your sake died and was raised? What if that's what he meant? And yes, some of us will go to China. But most of us will go to work. It's quiet in the house this morning. We're reading the word. So here I'm taking away here, I'm going... Firstly, we start with understanding his love for us. If you do not yet understand his love for you, don't move from that place. You cannot go and minister. You cannot go to China. You cannot go to your workplace to minister. You don't understand the love of the one who gave himself for you. I said, don't move from there. Push in. Take him to that room, that place. Okay. Let's see. He didn't stop there. Let's read further. What's next? From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Is that a verse that maybe confused you previously? It's like, what's he talking about? Remember who Paul is. Paul was a Pharisee. So when they saw Jesus, what did the Pharisees say? Who's this, they assumed, son of Joseph, son of Mary? We know his brothers and his sisters. Who's this guy? Where's he come from? This carpenter. They considered him according to the flesh. And then we read in Romans 1:4, he was declared to be the Son of God when God raised him from the dead. That's what he's referring to here. We once regarded him as man, but we see now he's the God-man. He's the Messiah. He has been declared by his resurrection. No one else has been resurrected like him. Stayed alive. He has been declared to be the Son of God. So we don't regard him that way anymore. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, because of this, we understand this is who Christ is, the resurrected Son. Therefore, because of what goes before this, if anyone, and this is the point, he said, all have died. We conclude this, all have died. And now he ties up with it. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The only other option here for us, you can stay dead or you can become a new creation in Christ. This is man's only option. There's no third way, fourth way, Buddha's way. So you're either dead or you're in Christ and then you're a new creation. But this is a complicated term because our English doesn't help us a lot here. What does he mean by new creation? He says the old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And then we feel so condemned because we've put our faith in what Christ has done, his love for us displayed. And then I wake up tomorrow morning and that room still smells really bad. But then the word says, I'm a new creation, or you can translate it, new creature. We don't understand, and we feel condemned. Like, why is something still the same? You were born again of the Spirit when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you heard the gospel preached of what Jesus has done. Paul writes in Romans, he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So that's how faith comes. That's why we must preach the gospel, what he has done. Right? And then faith comes, and you put your faith, and you're born again of the Spirit. You can't be born of anything else. What's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the Spirit is Spirit. You're born again, and now you are a new creation. But now the complication is you were born again into the same flesh box. So we read this, we say, new creation, what does this mean? But we must go deeper, and we'll see, what is this new he's referring to? Because there are two words for new. In the Greek. One is neos. That's new as in like a baby new. And we think like this is what we're talking about. New. Everything is new. There were some things that were new when I was born again. Some things that were not new. Right? The word here is kainos. It's new in type. It's new in its, it's like, it's a different kind. It's the same but different. When he says the new creation, he's saying the creation will be a new creation, will be the same but different, right? And we get this confused, and then we read, for instance, when Jesus says in Luke 5, he says, new wine must be put into new wineskins. He says, neos wine into kainos wineskins. Are you hearing the difference? So we know the new wine is the Spirit, because we didn't before the new covenant. The Spirit came upon select people. Now we have the Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit only comes into a kainos wineskin. What is a kainos wineskin? Is one who has seen, I have not got righteousness. I need righteousness. I need a new heart. I need that heart transplant we looked at the other day. So I put my faith in the one whose life, he's 30 years on this earth, total obedience, never sinned. That's his righteousness made available for us on the cross. He's standing. It is a kainos wineskin. I receive his righteousness. And then I can receive neos wine. And this is what he's talking about here. He says he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. Has that landed for you? Because we are here to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, I'm going to carry on. Verse 18. All this, that which he has concluded, understanding the love of Christ for him, that which he has concluded, knowing that one has died, therefore all have died, that we can live no longer for ourselves but for him, that we can be a new creation, a new creature, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Earlier he talks about he's given us the ministry of the Spirit. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We were not in good standing with God. There was a separation. The ministry of the word makes it clear. Ministry of the letter, sorry. Makes it clear what our separation is. You look at the law and our failure. You see the reason for our separation. And then we see the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of the Spirit. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Who was he reconciling? Was he reconciling the elect? Or was he reconciling the world? Not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The reconciliation has taken place. All we have been entrusted with is give the message across. We feel like, no, we need to be good enough. No, he was good enough. The reconciliation has taken place. He's entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. In other words, Jesus is not sending an angel to proclaim the gospel. Sending us. Sending the church, the ecclesia, us. Us who have believed. And this word reconciliation or reconciled, its root is in an exchange. Like a coin exchange. In other words, a dispensation has come which works with dollars. And we sit with rand. You cannot be a part of the economy of dollars if you have rand. You go to the shop with your rand, you cannot buy. So the root word of this reconciliation is this idea: you come into a kingdom where the currency is a certain currency. You have something, it's not the right currency. You need to exchange it for the right currency. So we need to bring our self-righteousness and exchange it for his righteousness. That's the root of reconciliation. Then it gets used. It's the idea of spouses turning towards one another. Reconciliation. Once they've had moments of intense fellowship, to then turn towards one another and be reconciled. Some married people are only getting that right now. Okay. That's okay. This is what the word reconciliation is. God has reconciled us to himself. He has established an exchange. He has created a currency exchange that we need in order to transact in his kingdom. That exchange took place where? Took place at the cross. That exchange took place at the cross. Entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Let me read the next verse. Now, when we understand that, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I want to pause there. Help us understand this role we play, because he says we're ambassadors for Christ. I want to use a different example, maybe just to come a bit from the left field and just open our hearts a bit. So my brother, my older brother, he's a doctor. Okay? And he's a specific kind of doctor. He plays Legos with people's legs and feet, orthopod. If my brother and I walk into one of his wards, I can go and sit by a patient and just be like, hey, how are you doing? My brother walks in. He's about to reconcile that person with who they should be. Right? They come in with a broken leg. They're going to go out having put something in place to mend that bone. Right? So he's an ambassador for the medical fraternity in that sense. And sometimes we think that, okay, we're a respecter of persons. So we like the doctor who goes into his ward. The guy is lying there with two broken legs and two broken arms, and we ask him, how are you? Are you okay? You're a good person. But we have been commissioned with the ministry of reconciliation. God's not sending someone, he's sending some people to China, he's sending some of us to our workplaces. As the ambassadors, as the doctor, we have the cure. We know what is wrong. I can tell you, yes, your legs are broken. Sometimes we're so good at saying, your legs are broken. Oh, these legs are broken. It's really tough. I'm the doctor, I can see on the x-ray, oh, these legs are broken. Buddy, it's going to be tough. When are we going to apply the cure? So let me reconcile you to who you should be. You need to become a new creature. It's already been done. He loved the world. So he sent and he gave. Right? And as we just read, Christ died for the world. So it gives me great confidence. I can say, here is the cure. It is relevant to your condition. And we make light. We have these moments where we make light of. We say, oh, maybe there's another way. Maybe this, you know, we're a respecter of persons. We meet a politician and we think, well, he's doing good stuff and it's going to be awkward. Let me not share the gospel with him. And we're content to leave him dead. It's not performing the ministry we're called to. Can you sense my urgency here this morning? Because this verse breaks me. Because this is the price of the exchange. Right? There's no one else who paid this price. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Does that make you uncomfortable? It should. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How did this happen? On that cross. We read in John, and he says once he had fulfilled all the scriptures, He said, I thirst. And that was the last one to fulfill the scriptures. And they gave him the sponge. And then he knew. And what did he do on that exchange? So he hangs there. He can't breathe when he's in this position. Right? He's down here. But now he knows, and he goes, they need to know something more about this exchange, this currency exchange. They need my righteousness. What does he do? He says, it is finished. The exchange is finished. And then he dies. And we think there is another way. There's no other way. This is what he's talking about here. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the ministry of reconciliation we have been entrusted with. I have been neglecting it. I'm confessing it this morning. It's not like I'm nailing this. There's no other way to be reconciled. I'm content to let people walk out my office not knowing that they need to become a new creature, a new creation. I'm content to hang around on the beach and speak to people and leave them, let them go home and be a dead creature at home. Nehemiah, this is my story now. This is his story. Next verse. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. How often do we receive the grace of God in vain? We're content to be a bless me club. Right? At work, we must be excellent. But having an excellent testimony at work and letting people still go to hell is not fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation. It should be a platform from which we are able to testify to who the Son is. When we have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for someone on the street or at the till or at the petrol station, it is not just so that they can have an encounter. It is the purpose thereof is so that the Son will be glorified. How is the Son glorified? When people are born again. This is how he is glorified. And we read here, we should not receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And this should give us great confidence, because the world is in turmoil. We just heard, Israel has declared, they are at war. Last week we had floods. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We can bring the message of reconciliation. We need to be reconciled, and we need to bring the message of reconciliation. This has been entrusted to us. The age we live in is still the day of salvation. He says, now is the day of salvation. It's not 2,000 years ago there was the day of salvation. Otherwise, we're all, this forbay. We're still in this day. So when you have that moment and the Holy Spirit places it on your heart, and someone asks, why? What gives you hope? What gives you joy? Well, let me share the message of reconciliation. It's not what I do, it's what he's done. I put my faith in the one whose record is faultless, whose record I received. And we just read, so we can receive his, so we can just go to the previous verse, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What does righteousness do? Well, let's look at what righteousness did. What did Jesus do? That's the righteousness we receive. It's not a righteousness that's passive, to sit at home, to be a bless me club. I'm happy on my own. I'm an introvert. I like my home time. Right? But we've received a righteousness that did something and still does something. Because when righteousness is displayed, it makes a change. We're not content to just let righteousness remain in our private space here on a Sunday morning. Righteousness must go out there, in our workplace, in our family, in our relationships. It must go out there. It must do its work. It must show this is who he is. This is what he does. This is how he changes me. I am a new creation. Right? I thought it was a short message. Okay. Can I ask you to stand with me? I'm gonna close it there. Here's the thing. You stand with me. We just heard that we have a ministry of reconciliation. This is the ministry of the Spirit. Today is still the day of salvation. If you came in here without the assurance that you are born again, today is still the day of salvation. If you came in here and you have received the grace of God in vain, there's good news. He's ready to empower you to not do that again. Don't put your eyes on what's going on in the world. Remember what we have been entrusted with. If it is light all around us, how will they see the light? It is not very light around us. It is now the time for us to walk out the righteousness of God, because it is still the day of salvation. I don't know how long that day is. Don't know how long that day is for people I come across. I don't know how long that day is for you, because it does end. And at some point, the sun does come back. And then the day of salvation is ended. And I do not want him to remind me on that day of my work colleagues, of my clients, of my family members. I don't want him to remind me that day. I'm not content with that. So I want to pray for us. Father, we thank you that we can bring our lives before you. And some of us here have not even had that revelation of Christ's love for me that was displayed on a cross that was meant for me. And if that's you, I want you to just lay where you are. If you know, you don't even know that, how Christ loves you, loved you, gave himself for you, now's the time to take hold of what he has done. Because he didn't stay dead. And I want to speak to you and I say, he was raised to life. He was handed over for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That means just as if I also obeyed and just as if I never sinned. And if that's what you need, don't walk out of here without it. Receive the love of Christ. Paul received the love of Christ. So if that's you, I just want you to, in your own where you're standing, maybe open your hand and just receive the love of Christ. That's all you're being asked to do this morning. And maybe there's some of you that, like me, you have received the grace of God in vain. You have been content to ignore the fact that the day of salvation will end. And is ending. It daily ends for some people. And if that's you, also, I just want to ask you, open your hands and as a sign of your surrender, as a sign of your realignment. with God's will. What is His will for your life is that you would live no longer for yourself, but for Him who died and was raised for you. And there are people being brought to your mind right now. To your remembrance right now. And I ask you to put your faith in Him, in Jesus, that He would grant you the opportunity in love to share the message of reconciliation. And I want to encourage you, as we are praying and as we are in this moment, remember this letter. It's written by Paul and Timothy. He was not alone. He's not talking about him being a lone ranger out there. He was partnered in this ministry of reconciliation. And some of you maybe are feeling so overwhelmed by this thought. Well, here's the invitation. Take hold of someone and say, listen, there are people in my life who have not heard the message of reconciliation. Will you pray with me? And even in this week, maybe take hold and say, listen, will you pray with me for that opportunity to share the message of reconciliation? And Father, as we come and as we turn from living for ourselves and we want to be in your will for our lives, Father, I pray that as we respond to your word, that you would pour your Holy Spirit out on us. That you would come upon us, Holy Spirit. Use us to point people to Jesus. We know this is your love, your passion. You love pointing us to Jesus. You love using us to point to Jesus. Let your name be lifted up in our lives. Amen. Amen. I wanna challenge you, if you know the person next to you, even if you don't. Maybe especially if you had that reminder of work colleagues or someone in your family, let us stir up faith. Let us not leave this place. Take hold of the person next to you and say, listen, the band's going to continue ministering to us. I would love to have an opportunity to share the message of reconciliation with this person. Let's do that. You can sit down. Let's turn to one another. I feel like we should be using words this morning. We should be using words because the Holy Spirit's going to empower us. Peace, Son of God. You see, why would we want to go to China? Clearly, there's a lot of people we're being sent to. So I'm going to ask you to, let's just stand, and I want to make an invitation. I just heard a beautiful testimony, and as we end this part of the service, if you have not had that revelation of Christ's love for you, because we feel so ashamed to make it so personal sometimes. But Paul had that revelation, which means if it was for him, it was for me. So if you have not had that revelation of Christ's love for me, yes, he loves us, but he's made it clear he loves me, then don't leave this place. I'm going to close the service now. Then you can come and the small group leaders will come and minister to you and trust for you to have an encounter with God's love for you, because he loved us first. That's how we can love him. So, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness this morning, and we thank you that we can be sent from this place. Lord Jesus, you said in John 20, as the Father sent me, I send you, and we receive that this morning as you send us into our Jerusalem and into our Samarias and into the ends of the world, that we would be witnesses to you. Holy Spirit, that you would be upon us, that we would be witnesses to the Son, that our lives would witness and proclaim the message of reconciliation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, and that you would walk in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask the small group leaders just to come to the front. And if you need that encounter with Christ's love, we're going to pray for you. We can't give you something. It's Christ's love for you. So, and for the rest, you're welcome to fellowship in the chairs or fellowship with a coffee at the back. Amen.